Great to have you along today on Wisconsin Public Radio News. Larry Mueller here. We've been talking about summer reading. What goes with summer? Well, fireworks often go with summer. And our regular guest, Bassam Shakashiri, is back to talk about the science of fireworks. And it's great to have him back. He's an emeritus professor of chemistry at UW-Madison, known for his leadership in national science policy and promoting excellence in science education at all levels. And he developed the use of demonstrations in teaching chemistry. He's the first holder of the William T. Evu Distinguished Chair for the Wisconsin Idea. So what would you like to know about fireworks and how they're made? Well, have become part of the conversation. We can take other kinds of science issues as well as we move along. The number to call, 800-642-1234. It's 800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@WPR.org. talk@WPR.org. Love to hear from you. Bassam Shakashiri, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Always good to be with you, Larry, and with your audience. You provide fabulous opportunities on a variety of topics. It's such a joy to listen to all the conversations, and thank you for including me in this program today. Thank you, Larry.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you for being with us. You know, we've got the 4th of July. It's coming up next month, and of course, that means lots of firework displays. Can you talk about the science behind fireworks?
Yes, I'd be happy to talk about the science behind fireworks, but let me start by reminding all of us what the 4th of July is really all about. Yes, we use fire displays to celebrate our independence. It is Independence Day, and it is essential for everyone who is listening. I want to start with you, Larry. I'm going to ask you to make sure you vote this year. It is crucial that we vote, especially as we think about Independence Day. I'll get to the science of fireworks in a second. I'm going to ask everyone in the audience, beginning with Larry, to recruit at least 5 eligible voters who have not voted before to vote in the upcoming primaries and in the general election in November. It's so crucial for us to celebrate our Independence Day by being responsible citizens who care about the quality of life in our society and to truly celebrate the freedom and liberties that we enjoy. Now, so Larry, you
I promise I will do that.
5 new people who have not voted before. Okay, fireworks. We celebrate by, as do many other communities, we celebrate by setting off fireworks. What are fireworks? They are, they generate a very noticeable form of energy. Well, 3 forms of energy. A tremendous release of sound, light and heat. The tremendous booms that we hear at ground level are the result of the rapid release of energy into the air, causing the air to expand faster than the speed of sound. And this produces a shockwave, a sonic boom. So fireworks are explosions. They are combustion reactions that produce beautiful colors, produce in the form of light, and they produce heat, and they release sound. And so they are pleasing to the eye. They are pleasing to our senses. We enjoy them because they make good connections, visual and audio connections through our brains. And we marvel about the ways by which all of the different components are put together to produce a variety of shapes of fireworks, but they are combustion reactions. They need oxygen from the air to undergo the chemical process, and they are explosions. So an explosion is a chemical reaction that is gone out of control.
How did they create the colors, the different colors?
The colors are produced by heating metal salts, such as calcium chloride or sodium nitrate or strontium chloride, and they emit characteristic colors. The atoms in each of the elements absorb energy and then they release it as light of specific colors. I'd like to invite everyone in the audience to visit my website, where I have quite a bit more information about the colors and the different chemicals that are used. So please visit scifun.org, scifun.org. The red color is produced because strontium salts, sometimes lithium salts, are added to the mixture. The orange color comes from calcium salt, like calcium chloride is a substance that's put in there. The yellow color comes from sodium, as we have in sodium chloride, table salt, but use sodium nitrate. Green comes from barium compounds, such as barium chloride. Blue, we see lots of blue. We like the blue color. I like the blue color.
I do, too. Primarily
comes from copper-containing substances. The purple color is a mixture of strontium, which gives us the red color, and the blue color from copper. And sometimes we see bright silvery colors. That's the burning of aluminum or titanium, and sometimes magnesium. And so this is these atoms and these substances are excited, energetically excited, and then they go back to the original state that they were in, and that's when they emit the colors at specific wavelengths.
It's really interesting. You know, there's some growing concern about the environmental impact of fireworks.
Yes.
What kind of damage is done?
Well, we have to be aware of what we enjoy as human beings and the effect on the planet. For one thing, we all know that animals are scared from this sound, from the boom sound. And so we need to be protective of the elements. But the effect of on the environment itself is the addition. We see smoke, of course. We see, it's a toxic haze, and it produces what's called particulate matter. This is a combination of minuscule solid and liquid substances that are found in the air. And they are very hazardous because they have a very small diameter. And they can cause harm if we inhale them. So we need to be careful about what gives us visual and pleasure, and what also causes problems for the environment. So these particulate matter substances are fine particles with a diameter, very small diameter, about 2.5 micrometers. Let me give very small. So the average strand of human hair, Larry, is 70 micrometers in diameter, about 30 times larger than the fine particles that have a 2.5 micrometer. And so they can be inhaled and so on. But we have to be aware and stay away. We have to be aware of the hazards and stay away from being so close to fireworks. The professionally produced fireworks are very much enjoyed, and we still have to be careful about the environmental effects that they have. That includes also the fallout from all these metal salts after they're excited and give off light and so on. They fall and they absorb by the soil or by the water. They're also examples of very documented examples on occasions. There's been an increase in the amount of carbon monoxide and carbon dioxide in fireworks events. I forgot what it was, but not all that long ago, researchers discovered that when fireworks took place in downtown Minneapolis, the atmospheric concentration of carbon monoxide increased by 32%. And carbon monoxide is poisonous. It's hazardous. Carbon dioxide grew by about 17%. So we just have to be aware of the consequences of everything that we do in life, Larry, including the things that give us pleasure.
Bassam Shakashiri, our guest today, Emeritus Professor of Chemistry at UW-Madison. We talked a bit about fireworks, a bit about voting, and we certainly talked some more about science, I know, and the environment with him. And you can join in. Number to call, 800-642-1234, or email us to talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Thanks so much for joining us today on WPR News. Larry Mueller here talking with Bassam Shakashiri, Emeritus Professor of Chemistry at UW-Madison and first holder of the William T. Evu Distinguished Chair for the Wisconsin Idea. Love to have Bassam with us. And questions for him or comments as we move along, you can join in. Again, the number's 800-642-1234. Email to talk@WPR.org. Love to hear from you. You know, we were talking a bit about the environment. And by the way, are they working to make those fireworks more environmentally friendly?
Yes, there are so-called green fireworks being produced. I don't know at what scale they are being made available. It would be kind of interesting to ask the people who sponsor fireworks, the events, you know, where fireworks are displayed, about the environmental impact. They should be responsible in sharing what information they have about that. I think that behooves us to be asking that question.
Yeah. Well, speaking about the environment, the amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere has hit 420 parts per million. What does that mean for the planet?
This is the highest level that has been recorded, 420 million parts per million. And it is the direct telltale of our dependence and reliance on using fossil fuels as a source of energy, because we burn fossil fuels and they form carbon dioxide, among other products. But the carbon dioxide data, the number that you mentioned, 420 parts per million, it's like a thermometer of the temperature of the planet. We cannot stop global warming. It is inexorable. What we can do is mitigate it. Each one of us has a personal and collective responsibility to slow down our use and reliance and dependence on fossil fuels as a use, as a source of energy. So I'm very pleased, as I'm sure you are, Larry, that hybrid vehicles are now becoming more popular, electric vehicles are becoming more popular, and used not only in the United States but elsewhere. We have both personal and collective responsibilities to mitigate the spewing out, spitting out, as I call it, carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, because carbon dioxide is a greenhouse gas, and it contributes greatly to increasing the temperature of the planet.
It does indeed. I was just reading some of the electric cars now can get up to, I think, 400 miles on a charge. The science is on batteries has grown almost exponentially.
Both the science and the technologies have been growing very, very rapidly. And all of us should take advantage of the availability of such products for home heating, for transportation. And by the way, Larry, we should also be aware that with more usage of electric vehicles, we have to be concerned about the electric grid and how the power is generated for the electric grid. And all of these situations play well together to help us mitigate global warming, but we all must subscribe and participate on a personal level as well as collectively in our local community, in our state, across the country, around the world, in really protecting our environment. And we use the 420 parts per million, which was recorded very recently, as a telltale of the situation that we find ourselves in, a situation that we have done to ourselves. Let me also mention very quickly that there are natural causes to global warming. It's not all human-made, but those are very small compared to the human activities that have tremendously increased the amount of carbon dioxide in the air. And if you go to my website again, scifun.org, scifun.org, you'll find an array of information which will help increase your knowledge, not only about fireworks, but also about global warming and ways to mitigate global warming, and what is it that makes carbon dioxide a greenhouse gas. And Larry, you know, I ask this question every time I'm on your show. The four biggest gases that are responsible for global warming, carbon dioxide is one, laughing gas is another one, methane is the third one. What's the fourth one? Do you remember what the fourth one is?
No, I don't, right off the top of my head.
It's water vapor.
Oh, water vapor, right.
Water vapor. We can't do anything about water vapor. That's part of the water cycle. But we can do much about producing carbon dioxide, also laughing gas, nitrous oxide, and the use of methane. Just becoming at least more aware and hopefully taking responsible action about the chemicals that are in the environment is crucial to our well-being.
Peter in Racine has a question. I think that relates to this. Peter, hello.
Hello, Larry, and your guest, Takashiri. When I was a kid in elementary school, I got an old book. Maybe it's from the 1950s, and they said atmospheric oxygen is about 28-24%, I forget. And now it's down, last I heard, about 17% to 12%, depending. Had it measured when I was by the Lake Michigan, there's more oxygen there. And it was it was a warmer season, it was 17%. So I was in San Diego, 5%, this was 1983, 5% where there were a few highways, and there weren't even that many turbochargers sucking up atmospheric oxygen. And now it seems like all the auto manufacturers putting out turbochargers, which suck in more atmospheric air with the oxygen. And my God, you know, but this was in between two highways by San Diego, 5%. It was in the newspaper, 1983.
Atmospheric oxygen percentages. Back in the 50s, it was like 20%. Now, more recently, 17%. And in some cases, along some highways, 5%.
It's fairly stable, around 20%. It drops a little bit depending on what immediate environment you're in and what else is happening in that environment. So all the data that Peter has shared with us reflect measurements, local measurements, yes. There is no, as far as I know, as far as I can tell, there is no consequence thinking that the amount of oxygen in the air is going to change. I hope that's reassuring. But you know, in science, we do experiments and we learn, and we change the point of view that we develop. So, but yes, oxygen, nitrogen is about 80%, and oxygen is about 20%, and the carbon dioxide is very small. At 420 parts per million is really, really small.
Yeah. Peter, thank you.
Very consequential.
Peter, thank you so much. Tom in Green Bay will give you a chance to join in. Hi, Tom.
Hi. I know I'm off topic, Dr. Shakashiri, and when my grandkids visit, we're always going to your website and doing some experiment. But they live 300 miles away, and they want to do more. Are there any books you can recommend besides going to your website where these kids can read about it and do it on their own?
Yes.
I will, in the next couple of days, when I post the summary of this conversation that we're having right now, I will also post a list of books that are suitable for different age groups. Yes, there are many things. But I will post them on my website. That's the only way you can get to what I'm saying, other than what to hear me say now. Yes, it's very important for kids of all ages, not only the youngsters, all kids of all ages, to learn about advances in science and in technology, the benefits of those advances, and the potential hazards. But the joy of learning is very important. And parental involvement is crucial in the development and the growth of children.
So scifund.org, and you will have that posted in the next few days, couple of days.
Yes.
Tom, there you go. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. I want to go back to the environmental. You get a sense, the things you were talking about, do you get a sense that voters care about these topics?
Yes, I get a very good sense that voters care. I would like to get the same good sense that voters are going to vote. This is why I asked at the beginning of our conversation here to asked everyone to recruit 5 new voters who have not voted before, so that we can participate in the democratic society that we all belong to. So, yes, voters, when informed, they make good judgments. So I urge everyone to raise your voice and to vote in every election. And, Larry, permit me to once again give this quotation from President Abraham Lincoln. President Lincoln said, "Public sentiment is everything. With public sentiment, nothing can fail. Without it, nothing can succeed." That's why it's really crucial to participate in our democratic institutions, and especially as we think about our Independence Day and celebrate our independence and think about ourselves, our children, our grandchildren, and the future of the planet. It is crucial for everyone to participate as a citizen, responsible citizen. And so I'd like to say, do I have a couple of more seconds, Larry?
Yeah, yes, you do. Go ahead.
So, if you remember anything from what I've been sharing with you, I'd like you to remember 4 words. I want you to remember the word freedom, the word liberty, the word responsibility, and the word citizenship. Without freedom, we cannot exist as a nation. Freedom gives us opportunities to learn more, and because we are free, we can help advance liberty in our society. But along with freedom and liberty comes responsibility. And that's why we have to be responsible to ourselves and to each other. And citizenship, I've already mentioned the importance of participating in what our citizenship entitle us to do.
But Sam, on that note, I thank you so much for being with us. We'll look forward to another visit. Bassam Shakashiri, our guest, Emeritus Professor of Chemistry at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and a first holder of the William T. Evu Distinguished Chair for the Wisconsin IDEA. Great to have him with us. And I want to thank you for joining us today. And all of these shows are all a team effort. Our producers, Clara Neipert and Joel Patnaud, our technical directors, Lee Rayburn and Jeff Robbins. Our executive producer is Jill Nadeau. And of course, I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on WPR News.